Welcome to the Gong Show Hockey Podcast, discussing news and topics from around the NHL and beyond.
Welcome to the Gong Show Hockey Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Zach, recording on a Wednesday night, and this is it. The end of the season is upon us, and courtesy of last night's results, we have some real clarity in the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference, at least as far as who's probably going to make it into the playoffs. The Capitals picked up a crucial regulation win against Detroit, likely closing the coffin on their season. Meanwhile, the Islanders picked up a huge 2 points against the Rangers in Long Island, and both of those games had their controversial moments. And as a Wings fan, what I really want to do is complain about the officiating, the missed calls, and the bad breaks, but the fact of the matter is that you have an 82-game season. You had plenty of chances and time to bank cheap points over the last 8 months, and you can't leave your season hanging in the margins. If one call or one play ends your postseason hopes, how can you rationally argue that you really deserved a playoff appearance? Some games you catch the breaks and some games you don't. In the end, the one variable you control is how you play throughout the season. And if you come up short, you should start with blaming your team for going on an extended losing streak in December instead of a missed high stick or a boarding or too many men or whatever. So instead of treating this episode as my own personal therapy session, let's dig into where the wildcard race sits in the East. Obviously, while the West hasn't been fully clinched, nothing short of the Blues winning out and Vegas losing out will really alter the picture there, at least as far as who makes the playoffs. But in the East, while there are certainly favorites to make it into the playoffs, there's still enough time for that picture to change. I want to start things off at the bottom with the Flyers and the Red Wings because I think, besides both teams being out of the hunt at this point, both teams have largely lived out the same storylines this season. Both teams were expected to be near the bottom of their divisions at the start of the season, but both teams kind of defied expectations and put up far more competitive seasons than expected. In the last couple months, both teams looked like they were near locks to make the playoffs at points, and yet here we are with 4 games left, and it's nearly impossible to imagine either team climbing back into a playoff spot. Both teams self-imploded at the wrong time, with the Red Wings suffering a 7-game losing streak in March, where they once had a 10-point lead in the wildcard race, and the Flyers, whose current 8-game losing streak has plummeted them out of what looked like a sure divisional spot to then a sure playoff spot to now booking tee times in April. The Red Wings were effectively killed by Charlie Lindgren twice, who turned into Dominic Hasek for the second time against them this season, effectively putting them down for good, and the Flyers received a total and complete 9-3 embarrassment in Montreal at the hands of the lowly Habs. It's hard to pick a singular reason for both teams collapsing like they did. Some of it's a regression to the mean as far as shooting percentage, some of it's a total collapse of defensive systems, some of it's a complete inability to get a timely save, and some of it was just bad luck with everything combining at once to lead to these prolonged losing streaks. For the Red Wings, losing captain Dylan Larkin coincided with their massive losing streak, so that was a huge part of it, as was Alex Lyon completely falling apart in the crease, forcing them to go back to James Reimer, which is not something you want to do. For the Flyers, the defense and the goaltending seem to be the major cause, because the wild thing about the Flyers is that during their current losing streak, they're actually second in the league in Corsi 4 percentage with 58.13, first in the league in high danger chances percentage at 64.48%, and they're outshooting opponents 279 to 192 in that stretch. All those stats point to the Flyers' offense clicking at a torrid pace, and yet the wins just aren't coming. It's in large part being driven by a league-worst save percentage in that stretch of 8 games of 781, which is leaps and bounds worse than any other team in the NHL. The next worst was Calgary at an 861, so you can see there's a huge, huge gulf between last and second last. And it's easy to pin it all on the Flyers goalies, And realistically, that's where most of the blame belongs. Sure, the defense hasn't been nearly as good, and there's been some systems breakdowns, especially in in-zone coverage. But some of the goals they are giving up are simply not NHL-caliber goals. I wondered a few weeks ago if Samuel Erson could keep it up all season, and we now have our answer. No, he can't. What's worse is that Ivan Fedotov has not transitioned seamlessly from the KHL, which it's not reasonable to expect him to come over and be an elite NHL goalie out of the gate, but he was really their only hope of turning things around at that point, so an unfortunate result for the Flyers. Regardless, the odds are rapidly approaching zero for both teams. For the Flyers, there's a 7.5% chance of making the playoffs, and what that would take is pretty simple. They have three games left against the Rangers, Devils, and Capitals. They have to win all of those games, and they have to have some help. So definitely not looking very probable at this point. For the Red Wings, the path is slightly easier, but barely more possible. The Wings have four games left against the Penguins, the Leafs, and then the Habs on a back-to-back. If they lose to the Pens, it's over. If they beat the Pens by some miracle, they have to win at least two of their last three games and probably get some help from the other teams around them. It's not impossible now, but after Thursday night, it probably will be. There's just too little margin for error for a team that makes too many errors in the margins of each game. I just think the Red Wings are a few steps behind being a playoff contender. While those teams may not have a realistic chance of making it themselves, they do have a chance to play spoiler, because if the Wings beat Pittsburgh or the Flyers beat the Caps, they could ultimately have the deciding vote on who makes it into the playoffs. We do have clarity now on who isn't probably going to make it, but we don't know for sure who's going to end up in those last two spots. It's all coming down to the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Capitals duking it out for the third Metropolitan Divisional spot and that second wild card spot. The Islanders are sitting at an 81% chance of making the playoffs. They're currently in the third Metropolitan Division spot with 87 points. They're 2 points ahead of the Caps with the same number of games played. And I'll admit it, I wrote this team off a week or so ago, but the chaos of this wild card race has seen them jump to the head of the pack courtesy of a 5-game winning streak. There's a lot of reasons for the turnaround. I mean, timely offense, better defensive cohesion, and Patrick Waugh leaning more on Semyon Varlamov in net, who has been absolutely superb lately. It's not a surprise, since Varlamov played some of his best hockey during his career under Patrick Waugh in his time in Colorado, and that familiarity with the systems and playstyle may be helping him outperform Ilya Sorokin while he's still adjusting to the system. The Isles have the Habs, Rangers, Devils, and Penguins left on the schedule. They don't need to be perfect in the last four to make the playoffs, but they probably need to go either 3-4 or 2-2 with a win against the Penguins. Otherwise, they would need some help from the teams beneath them. Unless this season has one last twist of fate in the wildcard race, the Islanders should be making a postseason appearance. The last spot is much more firmly a toss-up, and it's coming down to the Penguins and the Capitals. Right now, the Caps sit at a 42% chance of making the playoffs, and the Penguins sit at a 41.3% chance. Nearly dead even. The Caps are currently at 85 points in the wildcard spot with 78 games played, and the Pens are 1 point back with the same number of games played. However, the Penguins have the first tiebreaker, which is regulation wins. They are 2 ahead of the Capitals there. It's all likely going to come down to who can squeeze out the most points to finish the season. The Penguins play the Red Wings tomorrow night in a crucial game, then play the Bruins, Preds, and Islanders. 3 of 4 could get the job done, especially if the Wings and Islanders are 2 of those wins, but otherwise they'd need some help from the teams around them. The Capitals, meanwhile, play the Sabres, Lightning, Bruins, and Flyers. And at first blush, the Caps' schedule seems a lot easier, but they've leaned pretty heavily on Charlie Lindgren to help them win games. And while that can work against a team like the Red Wings, they did get tuned up recently by the Sabres, and the Flyers are definitely going to be out there looking for blood. So those two games could actually be relatively tough. At this point, I don't know what's more likely, Charlie Lindgren carrying the team another four games or Sidney Crosby willing the Penguins into the playoffs. It's a dead heat right now, although with strength of schedule, I'm slightly leaning towards the Capitals squeaking in, but only by the slightest of margins. Now, with the playoffs right around the corner, I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a bracket challenge, and I did create one for you guys to join if you're so inclined. I'm going to try to put the link in the episode description, so hopefully you can see it there, but if not, you can go to bracketchallenge.nhl.com and search for the Gong Show Pod Bracket. And I'd love to see you guys join. We can see who is the best at predicting the outcomes. The Bracket Challenge, I believe, opens up in 8 days, so just before the start of the playoffs. So make sure if you want to participate, get your bracket in before the first game drops the puck. With that, I felt like I should bring up Austin Matthews and his historic season. Austin Matthews scored his 66th goal of the season last night against the Devils, a mark that hasn't been hit since Mario Lemieux scored 69 goals in the 1995-1996 season, 2 years before Austin Matthews was even born. Now that alone would be impressive enough, but with four games left, there's a very real possibility he could hit the 70-goal mark. The last time that happened was in the 1992-1993 season, when Timu Solani and Alexander Mogilny both hit 76 goals. So really an unprecedented season from Austin Matthews in the modern era. While we're talking about Ovechkin catching Gretzky's record, is there anyone that thinks Matthews won't catch them both if he stays healthy the rest of his career? I mean, he's already sitting at 365 goals in 558 career games played and is showing no signs of slowing down. Now, it's way too early to start counting down the goals, but what a ridiculously talented shooter, maybe one of the best of all time. But despite all the regular season success this year, fans in Toronto are going to be judging him by what he does in the playoffs. Goal records are fine to have, but it's not a Stanley Cup, and for Matthews and the Leafs, the objective is playoff success. Personal accolades are secondary, so we'll see how they make out in the playoffs, because for Matthews and for the Leafs as a whole, that's what really matters. I also wanted to cover the flood of information coming out now about the Arizona Coyotes. Initially, Frank Saravalli reported today that the NHL is drafting two versions of the NHL schedule for next season. One with the Coyotes playing in Arizona, and one with them playing in Salt Lake City. But that wasn't the only news, which would have been earth-shattering enough, because now it's been reported by multiple sources that the NHL is working with Coyotes ownership and a prospective ownership group in Salt Lake City to transfer the team to Salt Lake City. Now, none of this is a done deal, but it sounds like talks are progressing, and essentially, the Coyotes would be sold to the Salt Lake City ownership group for a nice, tidy profit for Coyotes owner Alex Marullo. The team would then be renamed and rebranded, but obviously the players and prospects would fall under the new Salt Lake City team. Now, Salt Lake City would need some renovations for their arena for the team to be able to use what they currently have, and a longer-term solution would probably still need to be worked out as far as a permanent NHL-acceptable arena. The current arena in Salt Lake City would need some renovations to be good for NHL viewership, essentially, because it's a basketball arena. The sight lines aren't quite the same, so they would have to do some work there to make it NHL ready. That would be an interim solution. I think the long-term goal is for them to build a joint arena to use for the NBA and the NHL, as a lot of teams around the league do, and that would be a more permanent home for them. But at the very least, moving to Salt Lake City on day one, they would at least have an NHL-sized arena and have the capacity for fans that they want. There's a lot of gate revenue that they're missing out because the Coyotes have been playing in a college-sized arena. So I think that's a big selling point to the NHL. However, within the proposed deal, it sounds like there is still a chance for hockey to return to Arizona, because part of the deal would give the Coyotes ownership group the right to buy back into the league as an expansion team within 5 years, provided they meet certain conditions. And I'm sure the top of the list would be securing land and building an arena. for an NHL team to be able to play in. And to that point, the Coyotes are still expected to make a bid on the land for an arena. But with that outcome uncertain at this point and local government support tepid at best, the NHL clearly has become uncomfortable with risking another 3 years in a college hockey arena that only seats 4,000 people. Things can certainly change, but the way it looks right now, the Coyotes will be playing in Salt Lake City next year under a new name and logo. It's too early to lock it in, but the early signs are pointing to this being the end of the current Arizona Coyotes. Now, before I wrap things up, I did want to take a quick look at the standings and talk about the potential playoff matchups we could see in round one, because there are some matchups out there that look really, really exciting. And I think the top of my list is going to be either the Toronto Maple Leafs getting a rematch against the Florida Panthers, or the Toronto Maple Leafs facing off against their arch nemesis, the Boston Bruins. I think that's going to be one of the most exciting series in round one. Very evenly matched and tons of skill. There's a lot of physicality coming from Florida, so you know that's going to be a grindy, hateful series. So that would be fun to watch. Or you could get the Bruins and Leafs with that long history and that deep rivalry. So really looking forward to that one. In the Western Conference, I'm also pretty excited about some of the matchups we could see there. Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers rematching against the Los Angeles Kings would be a pretty awesome matchup. Although, again, that one's not set in stone. We could also see Edmonton against Vegas, another tremendous matchup. I know Connor McDavid has been banged up lately. Maybe they choose to sit him a little bit so he can be healthy for the start of the playoffs, or at least manage his ice time so that he can start that series healthy. But I think that could be a hell of a series, whoever Edmonton ends up playing. And in the Central Division, I think it's looking likely that the Dallas Stars are going to hold on to that first spot, which means we're probably going to see a Colorado Avalanche-Winnipeg Jets matchup. And I think that could be another really fun one. Obviously, Nathan MacKinnon has been on a ridiculous tear lately. He went full God mode last night, especially on the breakaway. He's got such incredible speed. A very exciting player to watch. And it's not just MacKinnon. There are plenty of stars on that team. You've got Rantanen. You've got Makar. You've got a really solid supporting defensive cast. And the Colorado Avalanche are definitely deeper than they have been in past iterations. On the other hand, I think the Winnipeg Jets are a little deeper, and they certainly have the edge in net. I think that could make for a really fascinating series. Can Winnipeg stop Nathan MacKinnon? Can they shut down the Stars and allow their depth players to kind of overmatch the Avalanche in their bottom nine? So I think that could be a fascinating matchup. At this point, though, none of the matchups are really fully locked in. There's still plenty of room to change. There are some teams that might squeak into the playoffs and might make more noise than you expect, because once you get into the playoffs, it's like a whole new season. So while it's easy right now to say the Islanders aren't going to give anyone any trouble, or whoever gets that last wild card spot in the East, they're not going to be a problem. The reality is it's hockey, and we see upsets all the time in the playoffs. So just because you think you've got a favorable matchup in the playoffs doesn't mean you actually have one. So I'm really looking forward to watching some playoff hockey. I'm sure you all are. And with that, we'll wrap up today's episode. I know it's been a shorter one, but I'm kind of saving up my energy for our playoff preview. I think I'm going to delay our next episode until the night the NHL regular season ends, so we can talk about our upcoming playoff matchups, do a deep dive on who we think's going to make it out of the first round, and we might even start getting ready to preview the upcoming NHL draft. I'm definitely going to cover that. We'll just see how we are for time on that episode, and we'll see if this time around I can be a little more accurate in my mock draft, because it was absolutely abysmal last year.
Thanks for listening to the Gong Show Hockey Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss an episode. And please give us a follow on X at Gong Show Podcast.